This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Sasha today. Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Matt.
What are you doing with this really cold? Is there any place that you go to get out a little bit? Well, not outside necessarily, but get out of the house? Any place that you're going to just get to move around a little bit?
I was just going to say, the only going about I do is from my bed to my computer than the kitchen table.
It's a fair thing. It's a fair thing to do when it gets this cold. Although now the rumor is, and I got to talk to Sven Sundgaard. As a matter of fact, we will talk to him coming up here at 5:30 this afternoon from bringmethenews.com, the weatherman over there. We might be in the 50s by the end of the month.
My.
Yeah, that's just a little bit of a turnaround, isn't it? So yeah. We have to go through this week, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Also, we'll talk to him about – he put out a video about the turtle harvesting. We'll talk to him about that. I mean, you know, they're having some hearings over at the state capitol to try to stop the harvesting of turtles because it's actually starting to really impact the populations here. And so we'll talk to him a little bit about that as well. Of course, the House is wrapping up their case against Trump – today, as a matter of fact, I think they actually have wrapped up, if I'm not mistaken. Jamie Raskin, the Democrat from Maryland, closed the House manager's presentation with a list of questions he would like to have asked Trump if the former president had accepted the invitation to testify. Why did President Trump not tell his supporters to stop the attack on the Capitol as soon as he learned of it? Why did President Trump do nothing to stop the attack for at least 2 hours after the attack began? As our constitutional commander-in-chief, why did he do nothing to send help to our overwhelmed, besieged law enforcement officers for at least 2 hours on January 6th after the attack began? Why did President Trump not at any point that day condemn the violent insurrection and the insurrectionist? Raskin also posed general legal questions to Trump lawyers, but it was clearly intended to the senators to also ponder. If the president did incite a violent insurrection against our government, as of course we allege and think we've proven in this case, but just in general, if a president incited a violent insurrection against our government, would that be a high crime and misdemeanor? Can we all agree at least on that? Then speaking directly to the senators, Raskin implored then when deciding how to vote to simply use common sense. Well, that doesn't seem to be something that's a real, you know, heavy duty within the Republican Party. As a matter of fact, 18 of them weren't even in their seats for the latter part of today. So they've already made their mind. It's there. By the way, once again, I want to make sure we're very clear on this. It is completely and totally constitutional to have the trial for the impeachment of a former elected official after they have left office. Completely and totally constitutional. There is nothing illegal about it. And as a matter of fact, it's funny because a lot of the Republicans keep screaming that, but not one of them has tried to take that to the Supreme Court. Why? Because they know the Supreme Court within about 2 seconds would rule 9-0. Nope, you can you know, that's completely constitutional. You can do that. So what they're trying to do is scream it's not constitutional, but not take it to the Supreme Court to challenge it. Just hope that people take them at their word for it. And that's something that should be remembered. Today was basically a very interesting day in the presentation. They went over the history of Trump's inciting of violence from his initial rallies in 2015 through his entire presidency to cheering on violence against protesters and stuff, and clearly showing this man has a clear intent to cause damage. I mean, he's a punk. Can I just say this about Trump? Trump is that guy. When I was in the military, there were guys that would be out there that always talk a big fight, but then all of a sudden they got into a fight and they were hiding behind the big guys and then acted. And that guy was always acting like, well, thank God I was there. Oh, yeah, shut up. You know, he's a punk. Trump is a punk. He's a guy that talks a lot, but the reality is I would like to say another word after punk, but I'm not going to. But he is. He is. He absolutely is. And he, you know, this is just his style. And then, of course, then they play a whole bunch of not only of the Trump terrorists attacking the Capitol, but them going after the police, attacking the police, screaming at the police about how unpatriotic they are, while at the same time interspersing within their cuts where the people who are attacking clearly are saying, we're here because Trump told us to be here. We are here because Donald Trump told us to be here. They proved their case a thousand ways from Sunday. Once again, yesterday I asked Jeff Stein on this show, if Donald Trump himself went down to the Senate well and screamed at the senators, hey, and I did it. Yep, I incited it. I'm glad they did this. This is exactly what I wanted. How many of the Republican senators would still vote to acquit him? Stein said 30. I'd say 32. Automatically 30 people, even if he admitted the crime, 30 of them, because they just do not want to have another Republican declared as the as unfit for office like Nixon was. What's also interesting about this is and I think the Democrats have done a very good job. I mean, in portraying and putting this case forward and making the argument, because they knew the Republicans were in an impossible place. Now, I want to remind you that we had a lot of people right after the insurrection quickly criticize Trump. And then Trump said, we're going to start the Patriot Party. We're going to take all the Patriot Party people. And then everyone at the state level, everyone at the national level, all the Republicans, all of a sudden, QAnon is great. Hey, we'll have to agree to disagree. Huh? Yeah, they're fantastic. I mean, there was really zero condemnation. As a matter of fact, a lot of applauding. Well, the rubber band is smacked back the other way. Days before former President Trump's second impeachment trial began, more than 100 former GOP officials reportedly hopped on a Zoom call. The topic, how to best rally whatever anti-Trump momentum is left in the party. The talk on Friday, which Reuters reported included former elected Republicans and officials from the past four GOP administrations, touched on whether to launch a new center-right party, said Evan McMullen, the former chief policy director for the House Republican Conference, who co-hosted the call. Some people at the summit strongly favor starting a new party, McMullen, who ran as an independent presidential candidate in 2016, told the Washington Post. They think the GOP is irredeemable. They understand how difficult it is to form a new party, but they understand there is no other choice. The call came as Trump maintains an enduring grip on the GOP, even after his loss in November, an incitement of the short-lived insurrection last month. A recent post-ABC News poll found 56% of Republicans said Trump bears no responsibility for the Capitol attack. And a majority of Republicans said GOP leaders did not go far enough to back the baseless claims of fraud. Most GOP senators back Trump by voting against moving forward with the trial. But the talks are another sign of a deep division within the party, which has been split apart by power struggles after Trump's defeat last week. Liz Cheney survived a challenge to her role as the third ranking House Republican over her vote to impeach Trump. Trump's lasting influence in the party helped spark the meeting last week. Roughly 120 former officials called in, McMullen said. Reuters reported it confirmed those figures with three others who participated in the call, and said the group included John Mitnick, Trump's general counsel in the Department of Homeland Security, former Pennsylvania Congressman Charlie Dent, Elizabeth Newman, Deputy Chief of Staff for DHS under Trump, and Miles Taylor, who also worked at DHS under Trump. And while the call included discussion of forming a new party, only about 40% of those on the call appeared to support that course of action. But 40%. That's 40%. This is 40% of former elected officials in the Republican Party who are now openly saying, maybe it's time for a new political party. And the reality is, I started saying to myself, okay, if we were to do this, how many Minnesota GOPers would jump to the new party and how many would stay there? Well, my guess is none of the Minnesota GOPers. They'd stay with the QAnon party. They'd stay with the QAnon Republicans. Maybe Tom Bach, the former Democrat, might jump into the center-right party, because that's really where he belongs, along with Colin Peterson. But I don't know how many – I mean – I know that they're going to try to be maybe some metro area Republicans, but not many. A lot of former Republicans. I think Arne Carlson would. I think Tim Pawlenty would. But and maybe even someone like Norm Coleman. He might. But I don't think any of the current model is, because I think that there's too much of a grip on this. And the thing is, you know, you guys went out there and bowed down to the QAnon. Well, this is the offside, is that by going more extremist, it's the same exact thing the Whigs did. The Whigs went pro-slavery, and when that did not resonate, a lot of people just eventually left and formed their own party. And now you actually have political officials, elected officials, former White House officials now having discussions about starting an actual third party. Well, you guys did this to yourself. You absolutely did. More on that coming up here in a little bit. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We're not taking a break quite yet here. We're taking a look at the clock there. So I wanted to bring up a completely different topic if I could. Sasha, do you have any idea you might? Gina Carano.
Nope.
No. Nope. Have you watched The Mandalorian, the cute little Yoda baby?
I have. Oh, I do. I do. I've heard little rumblings about this. I didn't get enough time to jump into this.
But you know who she is. She plays on the show. She has played the wildly popular Rebel Alliance soldier Cara Dune.
That's right.
On The Mandalorian. Yep. Very popular character. She is done. And as a matter of fact, if we can actually say this, she's probably done with a good chunk of her career outside of appearing in like Kirk Cameron movies. I think she's done. UTA, that's her rep firm, has dropped the actor, no longer be part of the Star Wars galaxy. Gina Carano will not be returning to The Mandalorian or the Star Wars galaxy after sharing a post on social media implying that being a Republican today is like being Jewish during the Holocaust. All right, let me stop right there once again. I have told both sides of the aisle on this one. Stop using Hitler, Third Reich, Nazi. Now, have I said that Trump is a Nazi? No. Have I said he's cosplayed Nazis? Yeah, indeed I have. And there are times I've said he's cosplaying the Nazis so much he needs to take the costume off every once in a while. I have indeed said that. But he's not a Nazi. He's not Hitler. And you know why? Because we already had Hitler and the Nazis, all right? And when you have someone like Cliven Bundy at the Bundy Ranch trying to make the argument that the federal government are a bunch of Nazis because they're trying to make me pay for the grazing rights that I have used. Well, first of all, you've taken your problem, which is basically you just don't want to pay your bills. You're a moocher. You want handouts constantly. And you're taking that and elevating it to a grandiose scale, which is not even no, that's not even close. That's like the distance of a half a block from versus the distance to a moon. No, it's not the same thing. But not only are you grossly over trying to emphasize how much danger you're in, you also have to pay attention to what you're doing with Nazis. Every time you use Nazis or Third Reich or Hitler to compare something, you are diminishing the true horror of what the Nazis did. I was stationed in Germany with the U.S. Army. I've been to the concentration camps. These people were horrible. They tried to kill all the Jews. They first rounded up, used many of them for slave labor, beating them, treating them horribly, starving them, doing experiments on them, and then they killed them in mass. That is not you basically being called out for endorsing racism by supporting Trump. There is a huge difference there. And, she is just the latest. I mean, this is really common on the right now. It's just like the Nazis because they criticize me. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And there is something unbelievable when, when you have an industry that's as friendly to the Jewish community as the entertainment industry is, having someone make a comparison that, this is just like the Nazis. And then when the people who support the Jewish community and the Jewish community themselves say, what did you just say? You scream, cancel culture. No, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. And I feel sorry for Gina Carano. I mean, the first time I saw her was in Deadpool, the first Deadpool movie. She's very funny in that. That was a good movie. And this role in The Mandalorian, her last scene was her with Luke Skywalker and the Mandalorian after this kick butt fight sequence on this. It was amazing. With a baby Yoda, for goodness sake. Grogu? Is it Grogu? Grogu? I can't remember the name of the baby. Grogu? You know. Phil. It's Phil the baby Yoda. I don't think it's Phil. That'd be a twist. And let's face it, it probably wouldn't be any weirder than Grogu. But still, it'd be Phil. Let's go with Phil the baby Yoda. She just does the scene. Everyone's talking about, oh, okay, give her a series. Give her, you know, go out and do this. It's Grogu? Grogu. There it is. There, thank you. She is on the verge. She is with Disney. She's with Star Wars. Her life is set. All she has to do is pull a Bruce Willis, really, or a Kelsey Grammer, and keep your rhetoric to yourself. And yes, I can understand how in Los Angeles or in Hollywood or in the entertainment industry, it might feel like the left, the progressives, have a platform to speak, and the conservatives might not because there might be consequences for your actions. But that's the biz. And you want to know the truth is, even if there was something I starkly disagreed with, if I had the opportunity to be part of the Star Wars franchise as an actor or part of the Disney empire, I mean, my God. Disney, you'll be in Disney movies, you'll be in Marvel movies, you'll be in Star Wars movies. They will find a place. You'll do animation. But it was more important for you to make your snarky little conservative being a Republican today is like the Nazis treat how they treated the Jews. Jesus. Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm. There are no plans for her to be in the future. Lucasfilm spokesperson said in a statement, nevertheless, her social media posts denigrated people based on their culture and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. Carano has also been dropped by her client as her agent by UTA. On Wednesday, the hashtag Fire Gina Carano was trending following an Instagram post from the outspoken conservative actor and former mixed martial artist who was met with severe backlash. The post has since been deleted, but screenshots were widely shared by users on social media who called for her firing from the hit Disney Plus Star Wars show. This is not the first time Carano had played a former Rebel Alliance soldier Cara Dune on The Mandalorian, has been the focus of social media for ire for her political comments. Last November, she issued contentious tweets, one of which she mocked mask wearing amid the novel coronavirus pandemic, another which she falsely suggested voter fraud occurred during the 2020 presidential election. She also had some social media posts which seemed to be pretty much mocking transgender people. So, okay, and apparently when she did that, I don't know, Pedro Pascal plays the Mandalorian. He also was in the Wonder Woman movie, I believe he was. Played Maxwell Lord in that. He has a sister who's transgender, I believe. And so when she did this, he went to her and said, you know, let me explain why this is important to the transgender community. And I kind of got the impression he might have also been there as a member of speaking for Disney and Star Wars saying, you know what? Stop it. You know, you've got a really good gig right now. You can write your own check. What are you doing? And yet, here she does. She does this, and her career is over because she just had to say Republicans get treated like the Nazis treated the Jews. No, they don't. Because even though you just got fired by Star Wars, even though you just got fired by Disney, even though your agent just dumped you, and even though you just flushed your entire acting career down the toilet, you're still not being rounded up, put onto trains, being forced to work in a concentration camp for the Nazis, and then one day being taken out back and killed. That's a very large difference. And the reality is you got fired because of your determined ignorance, not because of a political point of view. Because of your determined ignorance. That's why you got canned. Wow. I this is the one thing about the right I just don't understand, Sasha. I just do not understand how they can intentionally destroy their careers like this.
I'm also trying to pull up the original post. Have you seen it yourself?
She deleted it, but it's the post here. It's been screen saved. Needless to say, Lucasfilm saw it.
Yeah.
And Star Wars saw it. So that's the end of that. 9529. What was that? All right, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. It's like these people that stormed the Capitol. You kicked in windows, you went in the Capitol, you were chanting, kill the vice president, you were attacking the police, and then you act surprised about, what do you mean I'm going to be arrested for treason? I got to get back to work at the parts counter. I wasn't planning on this. One of the things which has been really interesting is since the Capitol attack, there have been multiple stories I've read. I know I read one in the New York Times, one in the Washington Post, a few online, where it's talking to people. The Lancet had one of these. They're talking to people who after that realized I was going down a really bad path with QAnon and deprogrammed. And the minute they all of a sudden realized the only news they were getting, I mean, they considered Fox News a liberal media source. And when they unplugged and they started reading the news from other people, the realization of how much lies they had basically dove into. And that's the problem is that there are these complete different worlds out there that exist that people don't even realize exists. I mean, there are people who all they do is travel around when we're back to non-pandemic times, that travel around weekend to weekend to music festival after music festival, listen to EDM music all night long, and then sleep all day. And they do this, and I don't know how they do it, but they do it. This is all they do. There are people who live within the video game world that hardly ever come out of that world. I mean, these are complete different worlds where there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in these groups. And you're like, wow, really? You don't even realize it. Of course, these people have been able to build up a news, kind of a tub of news, a tub of news sources, a tub of validation, opinion validation and narrative validation that they basically thrive on. It's a vicious circle for them. And they just don't get away from it. And so there is quite literally, the same people who are saying that cop was great for shooting Jacob Blake in the back four times are sitting there saying, hey, just because I beat a police officer with a flagpole, why am I getting arrested? And they just don't see it. And Gina Carano, I mean, I just, there are people that blow up their careers and blow them up very quickly. And, I don't know why that was. You made the decision that making this political point of view, comparing Republicans getting persecuted today to how the Jews were treated, which is laughable, that you would even try to make that comparison, that the Jews were tormented by the Nazis, exterminated by the Nazis. It's called a Holocaust for a reason, for God's sakes. But you guys, you idiots on the right, you've convinced yourself your fan fiction is freaking real. You've convinced yourself that there's black helicopters and there are internment camps out in the desert. Oh, and the jackbooted thugs, they come and take you at night. No, they don't. But you've convinced yourself of this crap. I don't know. It's nice to see we're up to 203 people. Actually, I think it's 208 people now have been arrested by the FBI who their entire lives are over. Whatever they were doing before, they're terrorist traitors, and whatever they did, they're done. But, and I understand Gina Carano wasn't storming the U.S. Capitol, but at the same time, this ignorance, this intentional ignorance that you are always the worst treated people on the planet, the most righteous people that ever lived, the most Christian human beings ever, the most persecuted man on the planet. Shut up. Shut up. You pathetic mules, my God. And I can't figure this out about you guys. You guys, I mean, the woman down at, we were talking about the interchange yesterday. They shut down. I mean, she was just, this is the greatest injustice. You broke the law. And you're not going to win. What are you thinking? The guy over at the Alibi Bar and Grill, who for some reason was on bail after he pulled guns on two cops, thinks he can go into a Jimmy John's and start beating on employees in the place, and there's not going to be any consequences for the knucklehead. I mean, these people are freaking nuts. And whether it's storming the U.S. Capitol or calling or storming the governor's mansion here or calling to go out and harass and maybe even attack judges in the state or trying to keep a restaurant open during a pandemic when it, for the betterment of the community, you need to shut down or trying to create funny memes. Funny? I don't – what was your point, Gina Carano? Make a meme where you can play – you compare your mild disagreement in politics – with one of the most heinous crimes that ever was committed as human beings on the planet, for God's sakes. You guys are just, you're just dumb. You're just dumb. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll get into it. They had a press conference. The charges have been announced in Buffalo. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. The investigation into the fatal mass shooting at the Allina Health Clinic in Buffalo, Minnesota, continues with investigators trying to determine how a man who had made prior threats towards the clinic got a gun. Gregory Ulrich, 67, of Buffalo, was charged Thursday with second-degree murder in the death of 37-year-old medical assistant Hillary Overbay and four counts of attempted murder in the shootings of four other Allina Health employees, as well as explosives and weapons charges in connection to the fatal mass shooting at the Crossroads Clinic in Buffalo on Tuesday. Ulrich previously made threats of mass violence, including killing employees and setting off bombs at the Allina Clinic, prompting a harassment restraining order being filed against him in 2018 that prevented him from going near the Crossroads Clinic and Buffalo Hospital. These prior threats have raised questions about how Ulrich was able to walk into the Crossroads Clinic and shoot five people. The Wright County Attorney, Brian Lutz, Wright County Sheriff Sean Derringer, and Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Evans spoke to this during a news conference on Thursday. While I know we have previous threats made by Mr. Ulrich, I want you to know that there has been nothing recent in the past several months or even a year that we would have been aware of where we would have to take an immediate action to try to circumvent or prevent what happened Tuesday morning, Derringer said. He urged people not to push blame as investigators are working to give closure and justice to those who have been victimized. But if you have to push blame, push the blame to Ulrich. And I think, once again, that's the for everyone out there. Ulrich did this. This is his deal. This is, you know, it, from the sounds of it, there's addiction issues. There's, you know, pain issues that he's, you know, dealing with this. But at the same time, this is him. He made the decision to go to this clinic and start shooting it up. And that's the case. I also would say, too, it's really hard. When you have – I think there are times when we have cases where it's a domestic abuse case where there is a much – in my feeling, there's a much shorter leash to the abuser. There should be a much shorter leash with the abuser there as that's the case. So that if you have a situation where you have a – say an ex-wife who is being abused by her ex-husband – that even though that there isn't a, you know, a year, might be a year without any major threats or anything like this, you have to kind of do more due diligence there because you have an individual who's trying to cause more, pain and suffering to the other person. I mean, I think that that's a pretty common thing. This is a little harder because, you know, when you're talking about staff, when you're talking about security, where you're talking about a building of the size of this clinic, it's really hard to have people there, especially a year, maybe 2 years after the problem happened, who know who this person is. And I've worked at places, I've worked at radio stations where you have photos of people who were past employees 5-6 years down the earlier, who made threats to the people that were there, and there's a photo there, and you're looking at a dated photo, and you hope that the people at the front desk or wherever might be able to identify this individual, but it's hard to do. So you know, I to a point, I agree there that you know, if you want to push blame on someone, don't push it on the clinic. I don't know if it's necessarily fair to push the blame for him being able to do this onto the police or the county sheriff. I don't know if you know there was ever any validation to just lock this guy up because of potential of threat. Which you know we should. I don't know if we necessarily be doing that here in this country. But there is some elements of this story that need to be talked about in much further detail. Derringer, and once again, this is Sheriff Sean Derringer, Wright County Sheriff. Derringer said, law enforcement deals with people every day who say many things in anger, and we do our best to try to mitigate what those threats constitute and what that looks like. Noting mental health continues to be a serious issue in the area. How did he get a gun? Now, that is the question we were asking yesterday. That is the question we need to be asking for a while here. Derringer said his office worked with the county attorney's office to get a court order that would give them the authorization to release the gun permit records related to Ulrich, but it was denied. Oh, well, thank God the gun is safe. Well, whatever. I don't know if it was the county attorney refused to do this. It sounds like the county attorney was working with the Wright County Sheriff to get this information released. So I'm going to guess it's some judge who's basically saying, whoa. I know there are innocent victims here. I know there's a dead woman here. But come on, we need to think about the gun. We can't let the gun be exposed. How dare you try to use this crisis to expose the gun? Dear Lord. This prevents officials from being able to say if Ulrich has ever been applied for a permit or whether they have any records of him because gun permit David is private under state law. How in the hell is this the one ironclad law? Any gun law in the state is so ironclad we can't. Oh, yeah, sure. He opened fire, killed a nurse who was just doing her job that day, shot four other people, tried to blow up the place. But come on, man. He still has rights, and we can't injure the gun. The gun has rights, Matt. God. Ugh. The sheriff explained how someone like Ulrich may acquire a gun. Now, I'm going to say this. Fox 9 initially was reporting that at one point this gun guy did have a gun permit. And Star Tribune said, no, he had been denied a permit. So I'm almost kind of wondering, was he initially issued a permit? Was that permit then denied? But what did you guys do with the gun that he had? If he had a permit and he was able to carry the gun and then all of a sudden the permit was denied, what's the law there? Does law enforcement take the gun from him? Or does he double pinky swear that he's not going to use the gun in a bad way? Is that what he does? Because, I mean, it sounds like, and once again, conflicting news stories. Fox 9 yesterday was reporting that the roommate said he had a gun permit. Star Tribune yesterday was reporting that the gun permit had been denied. So the presumption I'm going to have here is at one point he had a gun permit, but then it got turned down again or rescinded. But then what happens to the gun? And that's a legitimate question. The sheriff explained how someone like Ulrich might require a gun, saying human error and error in reading criminal histories to find out what should disqualify someone from being able to get a gun permit are the most likely scenarios. So human error. People also can get guns legally, buying them as they would drugs on the street, he added. Whoa, 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 whoa. What was that again? People can also get guns illegally, buying them as they would drugs on the street. It's time for another one of the gun kook paradox. Because isn't the entire argument gun kooks make in regards to why there can't be any more gun laws is because if you make more gun laws, then the people are just going to buy their guns illegally on the street? Yes, that's what they always say. Matt, you can regulate the gun sales, but you know what that means is they're going to just buy it off the street like candy. First of all, where are you living where people are sending candy on the street? Eww. But still, that's their argument. You can't pass gun laws because if you pass gun laws, then people will be able to buy guns just willy-nilly on the street. But hold on there. So we've got this world that you say is perfect, is good. It's a wonderful world. Good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. Although nothing you ever say comes to fruition, you're talking out your frickin' cabooses. But here you're saying now, well, with the rules we have here, he's probably just buying the gun anywhere willy-nilly. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. So you're saying that if we keep the current situation where guns have more rights than human beings, that guns get sold willy-nilly on the street. But if we pass more laws that try to regulate guns, that's when the guns are going to be sold willy-nilly on the street. You guys can't even keep your damn story straight anymore, can you? And if this is our two choices, well, I'll tell you what, let's pass more gun laws. Because right now, we need more gun laws. We need to be able to have an instantaneous review of where this guy's gun permit was, if he had one. Who issued it? Why did they issue it? Or who sold him the gun if he wasn't supposed to have one? We should know this. As a matter of fact, we should have had laws in place preventing a mentally deranged man like this guy from being able to buy a gun. Because if your whole threat is, well, Matt, if you do any of that, they're going to be able to buy a gun willy-nilly on the street like candy. Well, if they can do that already, why not at least try to address the problem, huh? The gun kook paradox, folks. They just got caught in it right there. You can't say that they're buying guns on the street when that's the threat you use to try to say we can't pass any more gun laws. Because now, well, let's just pass the gun laws then. Because if we can't stop the gun sales on the street now, then at least we'll pass the gun laws and we'll make far harsher penalties and we'll be able to track these guns a lot better. Problem solved. Well, not really, because guns are lethal and guns should not be in the hands of most people, if you ask me personally. But Derringer noted that the harassment restraining order, which was filed against Ulrich in 2018, would not always disqualify someone from getting a permit. Oh, that's good to hear. Because, Matt, the gun, that gun needs a nice new home. Won't somebody think of adopting that gun? Hey, it's okay. You might have a criminal record or might be someone who's clearly mentally deranged. We're still willing to give you, if you're willing to give that gun a good home, we'll give you a gun. Wow. I think this is, to a point, somewhat of an admission to this whole press conference. I think this is somewhat of an admission that this guy shouldn't have had a gun, but we issued a permit for him to have a gun. I'm kind of getting that impression. State law says if they meet a certain threshold, the sheriff's office shall issue a gun permit, so sometimes their hands are tied. Tell that to the nurse's family. Okay, why don't you just tell that to the nurse's family? And no, the person that did this was Ulrich, but shame on all of us as a society for enabling this kind of freaking behavior. Shame on all of us. He didn't know there are someone in Wright County who has applied for a gun permit and doesn't have qualifiers, but the sheriff once has denied a permit. The sheriff just has to be prepared to defend himself in court if he gets sued for denying the permit. Evan said, because the gun's more important than law enforcement. Come on, Matt. That's common sense. Guns are more important than the cops, Matt. Evan said part of the team's investigation is to determine how Ulrich came to have a gun, noting some answers could come ultimately in the end of the day. There have been searching the Super 8 Motel as well as in Buffalo, as well as his previous residence as well, and they found more evidence there. Here is the other gun kook paradox I get to point out today, and it's the same one I pointed out yesterday. We have these, thanks to guys like Tony Cornish, the clown car himself, the former representative, we have guns everywhere. Because the pro-gun kooks keep screaming, the only thing that stops bad guys with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That's what they keep saying. So once again, let me point out for probably already the 300th or 400th time this year alone, you good guys with a gun suck at stopping bad guys with a gun. You do. You suck at it. Aren't you guys supposed to be there before the carnage begins? Aren't you supposed to be keeping us all safe? Thank God everyone's got guns because the good guys with the guns are stopping the bad guys with the guns. And yet here we are once again, where you good guys with the guns, you suck at stopping the bad guys with the guns. So maybe, just maybe, instead of waiting for the 1 in 100,000 chance that one of you good guys finally gets it right, maybe it's better if we pass common sense gun regulations that will have a far more direct impact of preventing gun carnage in this country. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. And for any Republican out there, it's like, how dare you bring up the gun so close to the shooting? Shut up. We know that's just because you're a coward and you can't defend the fact that the guns that you worship are the cause of this carnage in America. And this is just the latest example. And so as opposed to actually try to defend the indefensible, you just say, how dare you even talk about it? Shut up. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, it's your arguments. Your argument is we pass gun laws that guns are going to just be available on the streets. But then we have a gun crime and you say, well, they probably just bought them on the street. What are you talking about? That's not supposed to exist in your world. You talk about how the gun has more rights than the people. You talk about how that we can't find out how the person got their gun. And once again, it comes down to this whole idea of the, you know, good guys with the guns, aren't they supposed to be stopping these people? Nope, they don't. But hey, God forbid we actually have, I don't know, common sense background checks, prevent people who are mentally compromised from getting weapons, basically prevent people from just handing a gun over to someone without any consequences. God forbid we actually treat guns as less than human beings' lives. That's the craziest part about the whole thing is that right now there are people that guns are more important than the lives of other human beings. And that's just that should never exist in any kind of normal society. Democratic farm labor lawmakers are renewing a push to criminalize the theft of catalytic converters from large spike of stolen car parts. We talked about this earlier this week. The catalytic converters thefts are way up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They control emissions on cars, and they contain precious metals. That's why they're valuable. State Senator John Marty, Democrat from Roseville, DFLer from Roseville, has reintroduced a measure at the Capitol that would target the black market for catalytic converters and help police charge people that they found with stolen parts. The legislation would ban anyone other than licensed scrap metal dealers from buying used converters, ban dealers from buying converters from anyone other than legitimate auto repair or auto recycling businesses, and make it unlawful for a person to possess a used converter that is not theirs. The bill would also ban scrap dealers from paying cash for used converters. No legislation will completely eliminate the problem, Marty said in the statement. However, making it more difficult for thieves to transport and sell stolen catalytic converters will help. It's time for a legislature to step up and prevent these crimes. Across the Twin Cities metro area and the nation, this past year has seen a massive increase in catalytic converter theft, a mysterious scourge thought to be a new and lucrative crime of opportunity related to the pandemic. The device on the underside of the cars acts as an oxidation catalyst and are mandated to reduce pollution. The catalytic converters contain platinum, palladium, and rhodium, which have all increased in price this year. Scrappers can pocket up to $200 per converter. The bill, co-sponsored by the House by Ruth Richardson from the DFL, has not been scheduled for a hearing. You should. I mean, that's a common sense thing. And when you get them to the point where people are so brazen that they're just going up people's driveways and cutting, you know, getting under with cutting tools under people's cars in their driveways and just cutting them free, or the guys running around in the stolen pickup, the tow trucks that are just picking up a car, hauling it down to the end of the street, leaving it up, getting underneath, cut the catalytic converter off, drop the car and running. Well, that's some scary stuff. That's some scary stuff. And reality is this is once again, you have a lot of Republicans who like to point to stuff like this and say, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they stopping it? Well, they might be able to stop it if they had more teeth. And what we're learning from this bill is that a lot of people can get a catalytic converter and they can sell it willy-nilly. And they're selling it off the books. And so, you know, by putting some teeth on the books and starting to crack down on the theft and the sale of it, because I can tell you right now, if Marty's bill gets passed, what you're going to get is the immediate restriction of sales outside of to licensed people. And if that happens, the market dies off. You're going to start immediately overnight see an end to the majority of these thefts. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's hope that the Republicans, you know, if they want to help out the Metro, try to stop crime, well, here's your opportunity. This is me not holding my breath. Hour two of the Matt McNeil Show coming up. Sven Sundgaard joining us as well coming up next hour. Stay with us. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. A little light snow falling here in the Southwest Metro. Looks like some snow showers. Very light. In the south part of the metro, they're saying they should be moving out here. It's minus one. So be careful out there. If you come across this, it's not going to melt. It's going to be greasy on those roadways. So give yourself a little extra time if you're heading out on the roadways. 952-946-6205. So I've got to put this precursor on this next story here, Sasha, because we had this kind of blow up in our face before with the Mike Lindell, Jane Karowski story, which it sounds like the Daily Mail UK might have just made up completely, right?
Right, of course.
So we have to say, this comes from the dailymail.com, so take it as it is, but this one seems to be just a slight bit better researched as far as a sex scandal story. Controversial conspiracy congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene cheated on her husband with a polyamorous tantric sex guru, the dailymail.com has learned. Then after ending the affair with him, the mama three moved on to a gym manager behind her husband's back. But despite the tawdry flings, Taylor Greene stuck with her husband Perry as she made her unlikely rise that has turned her into the most talked about Republican in Washington, D.C. Neither man denied the affairs when approached by the dailymail.com. Craig Ivey, the tantric sex practitioner, said, I will not respond to anything about this, while the other man, Justin Tway, said, I have no interest in talking about anything to do with that woman. Everything with her comes to no good. But others say the new representative from Georgia's 14th was brazen about her affairs, which she carried out on a decade ago while working at gyms in Alpharetta, Georgia, some 35 miles north of Atlanta. It wasn't a secret. Everyone who moved in her circles knew about the affairs, one man who worked closely with Taylor Greene told the Daily Mail. And her boss, billionaire grandson Jim Chambers, added, she socialized a lot with us. I remember one particular pool party where she was lying draped over Craig's lap drinking a beer. She was quite open about it. He added, we thought her marriage was falling apart. But then I took my son to her son's birthday party, and things seemed totally normal between her and her husband, even if they were a little lukewarm. In response to Daily Mail's request for comments, Taylor Greene called the story ridiculous tabloid garbage spread by an avowed communist and another attempt to smear my name because I'm the biggest threat to Democrats' socialist agenda. Actually, you're not a threat to anything because you're not in any committee. So really, you're just sitting there basically twiddling your thumbs being in the minority. But hey, good try. By the way, I should be pointed out that's a non-denial denial. The old Bill Bradley thing, that's a non-denial denial. Her attorney, Lynn L. Wood, really? Had previously said in an article about the allegations published by the New Yorker magazine was intended to smear her with false accusations, half-truths, misrepresentations, out-of-context statements, and agenda-driven lies. Taylor Greene, 46, has become notorious since being elected to Congress. Now, I could care less. If you want to know the truth, I want to be honest with you. I want you to listen here, okay? She wants to cheat on her husband. Fine. I mean, I think it's kind of a jerkish thing to do, but, you know, if she wants to do that, she can. That's her, like, I mean, I'm not going to criticize that. Where I criticize her is in the fact that she calls herself a strong conservative Christian who planned to take family values to Washington. Little do we know that family values involves a tantric dude and another guy who manages the club. So, clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. No. Oh. So like I said, she wants to have an affair. That's on her. That's, you know, it's, you know, her husband doesn't want to divorce her. That's on him. But you're a politician. You know, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. Just don't keep throwing your Christian values. Family values. Adam's family values, baby. Rumor of Taylor Greene's affairs have been around since she hit the headlines in the summer by winning the Georgia primary. Chambers even tweeted out at the time, when you worked with me at CrossFit Alpharetta in 2012, the extramarital affairs you had with Justin and Craig, those were Jesus approved, right? He then added, I would never choose to dock someone's identities unless this person and linked to Marjorie Taylor Greene for Congress page. The New York Profile in her said the reporter had seen text by which Taylor Greene admitted sleeping with one man outside of her marriage. Chambers, whose grandmother Ann Cox Chambers was the richest person in Georgia until she died last year, bought two gyms in the early 2010s. He really only wanted one in downtown Atlanta, but the previous one owner insisted on selling the Alpharetta gym as part of the package. That's where Taylor Greene was already working. She was part of the staff I inherited, Chambers, 36, told Daily Mail. She was someone who needed a paycheck. She was working as trade. She got free membership and access to the opportunity to learn in business. Soon it became apparent that she and Craig Ivey had started an affair. I know about it because I was a member of the gym and one man who asked not to be identified. Certainly she was blanking around. Nice copy editing. Guys talking, I know there's some sex involved. People don't make up stuff like that. Oh, what are you talking about? People make up that stuff all the time. For goodness sakes. But it sounds like there might be more than just smoke here. When I would suggest going out, Craig would say he had things to do with Marjorie. Soon after, Chambers brought a new manager in from his Alpharetta gym, Justin Tway, moved to Georgia from Colorado to take over, the understanding that he might end up buying it and taking it off Chambers' hands. Taylor Greene soon set her sights on him and said both Chambers and the second source. This seems much more serious than the affair with Craig, said Chambers. This is more of a flirty thing, but it was with Justin, she just seemed to have designs on more long-term relationship. My impression is that she knew he might take over the gym and she wanted to be there right alongside him. Eventually, Taylor Greene did buy another gym in Alpharetta. The second source said with Marjorie, it always seemed to be a power thing. If anyone was a leader in a power position, she would gravitate towards him, and that's what she was like with Justin. So, once again, you want to have affairs, that's your personal business, but then just don't try to pass yourself off as a Christian conservative. Don't try to pass yourself. Well, I mean, I guess in today's age, I mean, that would be a Christian conservative considering how many of them sleep around on their spouses. or family values, because that's not family values. That is just you basically, you know, having sex for your fun. So there you go. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So I want to start off the Minnesota coronavirus update with a news story that is breaking here. That, let's see here. Looks like Joe Biden has secured 200 million more coronavirus vaccine doses. So that would sound like 100 million more, a third of the country, basically a third of the country will be able to get vaccinated. Biden is set to announce a major victory in his battle against the coronavirus pandemic. Biden is expected to announce Thursday afternoon that his administration has secured deals for another 200 million doses of coronavirus vaccine. As promised last month, the Washington Post reported on Thursday, citing three people familiar with the matter who are not authorized to discuss it. The president is scheduled to tour the National Institute of Health on Thursday afternoon, deliver remarks to staff there. He had indicated last month his administration was seeking another 200 million doses of the two vaccines authorized for emergency use in the United States to be available this summer. 100 million of the product developed by Pfizer and German company BioNTech, and 100 million of the product developed by Moderna. The newspaper explained the schedule of delivery of the additional doses was not immediately clear. The new deals are unlikely to make vaccine widely available much sooner than originally anticipated, but they would prevent a shortfall later in the year. It does sound like, as well, Dr. Fauci is out making the argument that we should have people vaccinated. It should be open season for vaccination come April, which would mean then you just it would be everyone. That's what his argument is that we should be there. Which would be fantastic, because I think that if you get into April, and if it's April and May and we kind of can get 2 months worth of people consistently getting vaccinated, that should go a long way to, you know, getting this under control. 24 more COVID-19 deaths were reported on Thursday in Minnesota, including 13 residents in long-term care facilities. Minnesota has recorded 6,343 COVID-19 deaths. 470,803 people who have tested positive for infections. That includes the 907 infections reported on Thursday. Signs of viral spread continue to improve in Minnesota, though the rate of diagnostic testing remained at 4%, below the state's 5% caution threshold. Minnesota hospitals reported that 320 inpatient beds were filled with COVID-19 patients on Wednesday, down from 394 at the beginning of the month. And from 1,864 during the peak of the latest pandemic wave on November 29th. So on November 29th, you know, reminder, in October, I want to remind everyone, in October, Paul Gazelka and Kurt Dowd were out on the Capitol steps demanding everything get reopened. Then after the election, the Senate decided to have a fairly mask-free, no social distancing party where they sickened a good chunk of their own their own politicians. Grünhagen yesterday, we read the story that Grünhagen said he and his wife were sick in November, and things went downhill very quickly from there. That the peak was 1,864 inpatient beds. We are now down to 320. Thank you very much, Governor Walz. Thank you, Governor Walz. You're doing an excellent job on this crisis. And once again, when have we had problems? When the governor has compromised with the Republicans and reopened things too fast and too quickly, and we end up having, major outbreaks. And plus the fact the Republicans themselves seem to be somewhat interested in trying to make as many people sick as possible. And just be honest about it. Vaccination numbers increased as well, with 599,218 people receiving at least the first of two doses of a coronavirus vaccine, 177,239 people completing the series. The Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines are considered 95% effective when both doses are provided on schedule. State health officials early this week, and by the way, someone told me this, that in all of the testing for all the vaccines, everyone who was part of the testing program, not a single one of them has died of coronavirus. Not a single one of all the vaccines. And so we're talking a few thousand people all took these vaccines in the testing stages, and not one of them has died. Doesn't mean some haven't gotten sick, but no one has died. That's hope. That's hope. State health officials earlier this week said that vaccination of nursing home residents was nearing completion. Most assisted living facility residents should have received at least the first doses by the month's end. Infection numbers have declined over the past months in long-term care facilities, and health officials partly attribute that to progress in vaccination. Roughly 42% of people who have at least received a first dose are senior citizens, a key risk group because COVID-19 severely increases with age. On Wednesday, Minnesota reported COVID-19 death in a child age 5 to 9. However, only 11 of the 167,000 known infections of people 29 and younger have resulted in death. But still, if I want to make sure we understand something here, we're getting too desensitized by this. If we had said just on a normal year that 11 people 29 and younger had died from this one disease, we would be, what do we do? Well, how do we stop it? What can we do? What we'd have people going to the doctors. They'd have people concerned because so many people have died in the state and so many people have gotten sick in the state. We get desensitized to these numbers. And yes, this has been horrific. This has been a freaking nightmare. So don't just, you know, I get really upset with these stories. They say, well, only 11 people died. Well, that's 11 families that have been destroyed. That's 11 communities that are grieving. So don't sit there and just, you know, 11 people, if we just had a normal year and we know, we've done some research and 11 people died of being exposed to something, we would all be outraged, especially if they're all 29 and younger. So the death rate of known COVID-19 cases escalates from 1.5% against Minnesotans in their 60s to 26% among those in their 90s. Thursday's reported deaths included Anoka County resident 35 to 39. The rest from 14 counties across Minnesota were all 70 or older. But once again, the greatest generation doesn't deserve to go out like this. The greatest generation does not deserve to go out like this, nor do the baby boomers. I hope at the end of all this, I hope we find our humanity again. Because by downplaying this, by dismissing this, by acting like this is no big deal, what we've done is a real massive injustice to the 6,343 Minnesotans alone, 6,343 people in the state of Minnesota who have died in the last year because of COVID-19. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. About 10 minutes away, Sven Sundgaard going to join us, talk a little about weather and stuff like that. Okay? It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Still the best, possibly the best theme song ever in TV. That Miami Vice theme song, man. That was. I mean, as a kid, I'd watch it, and then the show was like, "Oh, it's an adult solving crime. I'm not too cool with that." But I love the theme song, man. That and Simon was always an underrated theme song. The Simon and Simon, I think the same guy did the same both of them. So, and you know, it's I love those instrumental theme songs they came up with. Magnum PI, another great one. The Magnum PI thing that was quite a good one. So, it was Raskin ended his I'm reading from the transcript from the Washington Post. Jamie Raskin's final words before the House managers rested their case against Trump was an ode of sorts to his late son, Tommy. Less than 6 weeks ago, Raskin's 25-year-old son took his life. In the intervening weeks, the congressman buried his only son, lived through a violent attack in the Capitol, and took the lead in the effort to impeach and then convict the former president. "These are the times that try men and women's souls," Raskin began a modernized spin on the quote from the opening lines of the famous essay written by Thomas Paine at the start of the Revolutionary War. Raskin also called Paine one of his personal heroes, so much so that he named his son Thomas after the writer. In a statement about his son the day after his death, Raskin wrote, that he never had a negative word for anyone but tyrants and despots. He was likely thinking of his son, and when charged with the grave duty of persuading two-thirds of the U.S. Senate that Trump should be convicted of inciting an insurrection, continued to quote his late son's namesake, "Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered," Raskin said. The congressman closed with a hopeful sentiment, almost as if sending it up as a prayer. The more difficult the struggle, the more glorious in the end will be our victory. So it is wildly disturbing that the Republican senators just don't even care. They didn't care. They proudly bragged back on the Ukraine impeachment that they weren't going to convict him. It didn't matter what he said, that he could say it. Nope, we're not going to convict him. And the way that they have basically failed in, because this is the one thing the founding fathers never dreamed of ever happening. A political party being the enabler. Heck, I'm going to be honest with you. And I made this point this morning. I got some real questions about Tommy Tuberville, the senator from Alabama, because he seemed to be giving Trump on the ground intel to where the VP was as Trump was making threats against the VP, which his mob then interpreted to as go get him. On top of that, we've talked about Lauren Boebert and the House rep who was clearly giving out Nancy Pelosi's, you know, real-time location information to her Twitter followers. And that Madison Crawdart or whatever his name is, the guy from North Carolina, who said he had a gun on the floor. I think it's very, very reasonable to say that there more than likely were a few congresspeople and senators involved in this disaster. And this entire prosecution has proved it. And the reality is we know what happened. We all know what happened. The only thing that should happen for the rest of these Republicans who vote against convicting Trump for the rest of their careers should be you were in on the coup. And you might not have been necessarily on the front end, like it seems like Tommy Tuberville might have been. Seems like Lauren Boebert might have been. You might not have been there on the front, but your actions by refusing to even consider the copious evidence against Trump means that you basically enabled this yourself. And let's face it, these same Republicans, they're just hoping Trump doesn't run again. Because Trump will win the Republican nomination again if he runs. He will. And if, God forbid, he actually gets into office again, of course he's going to incite violence again. If the House and the Senate aren't passing the bills he wants, he'll send a mob up there to go kill him. And he'll do it and say, what are you going to do? And as Republican politicians are dragged out of the House and Senate by a mob, they'll still say, you can kill me, but I won't convict Trump. Because that's who these people are. That's how sad this country is. Our founding fathers never dreamed of a political party being so complicit in tyrannical, anti-American attempt to overthrow democracy. That's the worst part of all about this. And the Republicans, the Trump people, the Trump lawyers, you know, they basically said they're going to need less than one day to file their rebuttal. I don't know. I mean, the rebuttal is probably going to be something to the effect of the election was stolen and we never meant for this to happen. And why do you guys hate free speech and all this stuff? And I guarantee you these same Republicans who have ignored every bit of evidence are going to sit down there in their chairs and they're going to be staring so intently at these incompetent Republican law team that is going to be there to argue Trump's case. They're going to sit there and say, oh, they won me over when he went rambling for the third hour, just making no sense whatsoever. That's when I was convinced that their side was right. I hope the Republicans, the moderate Republicans, finally see that this is not the America they ever – Reagan was a not – I've been very vocal against Reagan. Reagan was not a really great guy. He had his machinations too. You know, he failed us on a lot of different levels. But Reagan would have never done this. And if you claim to be the party of Reagan, Reagan would have never gone along with this. Reagan would have been furious with any attempt by someone like a Marjorie Taylor Greene or a Senator Hawley to overthrow this government. He'd be offended by it. So would George H.W. Bush. So is George W. Bush, for God's sakes. Nope, you guys have done this to yourselves, and I hope that the moderate Republicans realize that if you want to be part of the Republican Party, you've got to pledge unity and allegiance to QAnon. And if they start another party, I think very quickly most of the Republican Party would leave the Republican Party and go to the new party very quickly. And yeah, they might not win a few elections, but they eventually will, because the QAnon guys, they'll get voted out of office real fast. And at the end of the day, once they lose their power and once they lose their – they've already lost a lot of their social media platforms. Once they really can't just push this narrative, well, at the end of the day, that's going to be the end of them. And so go the Whigs. The Whigs disappeared. 952-946-6205. Sven's on guard when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show there. Kind enough to join us again, Sven Sundgaard is joining us, of course, weather on YouTube. We've got his own weather channel, as well as also bringmethenews.com. He's kind enough today to talk about the cool weather and a major swing the other way coming later on this month, possibly. Hey, Sven, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, I almost regret putting it out there because now I feel like I'm over-promised and will under-deliver.
I feel
like people want hope. You know, it's so funny. Every time we get into one of these cold snaps, regardless of the winter we've had, people are like, oh, my God, is this going to be like this all spring? Is this all of February? I'm like, come on, Minnesotan, don't be so depressing.
Of course it's not.
We surrendered so quickly.
It's February. We get this for late January, February, and then, I mean, it can get cold. I remember a few years ago we had some cool temperatures into March.
We haven't even had this a week.
Yeah.
And people are already, like, surrendering. I don't want any of these people if I'm ever in a fight.
You can't trust on them. Before we get to the weather, let's take some time here. You put out a great video on YouTube about the bill that's been getting some readings over there at the state capitol.
Oh, yeah.
About turtle harvesting. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, this is something that I saw a couple weeks ago. I think Representative Rick Hansen of South St. Paul had posted this, that this bill was coming for the legislature again. This is the third time. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, what? Minnesota has commercial turtle harvesting? Are you kidding me? Like, it's one of those things where you're like, you would have thought Minnesota, of all places, would have had this off the books decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we do kind of stick out like a sore thumb in most of the northern half of the country, literally us in Iowa. You know, and then there's a couple of states out east, but most northern states have this ban. Of course, the South, well, you know. But I was shocked, and so I reposted it. It got a lot of traction from other people and followers of mine who had no idea either. And so this bill would ban the commercial harvest. Now, people who still want to – I know some people are commenting, well, actually, snapping turtle soup's pretty good. I've never had it. I don't think I'd ever eat it. But this does not ban personal consumption. So if somebody takes a turtle for their, you know, turtle soup a couple times a summer, this does not ban that. It's the commercial harvest. And the reason is just simply it's not sustainable. The science is very clear on it. And so this year, what's different is the DNR is behind it, whereas they kind of stayed out of it the last couple of years. But the science has just become so overwhelming. More studies have been done. You know, I've learned a lot about snapping turtles, which I've always thought were kind of cool because they're kind of like our own dinosaur. They've been around 90 million years. You know, they overlapped with dinosaurs. So it's pretty cool to think these are highly evolved species that know how to survive. But you know, they, you can't overconsume them. An adult snapping turtle doesn't lay its first eggs until it's 17 years old. Like, I didn't know that. So they're very slow to reproduce. So you can't just take too many of them at once. You know, to put that into perspective, within 17 years, your average doe can have up to 900 descendants.
Wow.
So a deer harvest makes sense. We can, and we regulate it heavily anyway. But with turtles, you have to be much more careful. And so this just, there's only 21 licenses, commercial licenses. There've been a moratorium on them for, I think, I don't know how many years. I don't know the exact period of that. So they haven't given out new licenses, but the 21 remaining licenses have been taking more turtles every year because our surrounding states have banned it. So this would just ban that commercial harvest. So they're hopeful they can get it through this year, but like a lot of things, it gets stuck up in our Senate.
Yeah. I know that there are a lot of people that are looking at this now because of the exact same thing you're saying is like, really, this is going on. I know the
person. We think of ourselves as a leader in environmental issues generally.
Yeah. I know that you can't hunt turtle in May and June, I think it is. That's when they lay their eggs. But
yeah,
I mean,
I believe so.
I think it's pretty much open as long as the ice is, there's no ice on in the water outside of those 2 months. How does a commercial outfit go? I mean, are they throwing nets in?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that, so the latest year we have data, you know, they're probably still compiling last year's, 2019, they took thousands of painted turtles. You know, we think of them as being super abundant, and they are. They're not endangered or anything, but if we keep up this practice, they'll run into problems. Snapping turtles are less, but it's still hundreds of snapping turtles. So this is particularly the three turtle species that you can still commercially harvest are painted turtles, snapping turtles, and then the spiny softshell turtle. And the spiny softshell turtle are particularly vulnerable. So they set traps. And the spiny softshell turtle is attracted to these traps more so than other turtle species. And so, you know, they just want, it's just time to get rid of that altogether. And most of these turtles aren't staying here. They're being exported to other markets.
I've not seen a spiny softshell in forever. I've seen the painted turtles and the snapping turtles, but I haven't seen – I mean, I'm kind of shocked that you can have – I mean, this is a textbook example of how you destroy an ecosystem, because you take an animal out or you decrease it so greatly that you end up changing the environment around it. And I guarantee you there's probably some consequences if we get rid of turtles overall, especially in certain lakes.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's – so I talked to so on my YouTube channel, as you mentioned, I did a story earlier this week that I posted. People can watch this few minutes. I interviewed Samantha Vang, Representative Samantha Vang, yep, in Brooklyn Park, is the bill's author. And this is her third year putting this out there. But, you know, they have a bunch more wildlife biologists on board this time and who've been testifying in hearings. And like I said, notably, the DNR is completely backing it this time, too. And he mentions that Chris Smith is the wildlife biologist. Turtles are super important to keeping the lakes clean. They're the scavengers of the lakes, you know. So when a fish dies, you know, things die all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Something has to eat it or consume it. Otherwise, the lake will get disgusting. So they're really important to the health and ecology of the lake. Plus, they're super cool. I don't know anybody with little kids, or I have my nephews. They love to just point out the turtles when you're in the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just fun to spot them.
And I've seen them. I see them out on Minnehaha Creek and Nine Mile Creek. You see them out there all the time, too. So, I think it's time for this to stop this. And obviously, once again, you can go find the video there and call your local representative, especially call your local senator.
Yes,
and
your tell state them, senators.
Yeah, call the state senator and get them to, you know, try to get this bill passed to the Senate, because I think this is kind of a no-brainer at this point.
It really should be a common sense bipartisan. You know, Republicans and Democrats are, you know, for sustainable, healthy environments, you know, because whether you're a hunter or not a hunter, in this state, we care about clean water, sustainable environment.
I have to ask you a weather question here and find out if my theory is correct on this. The other night, we had two nights in a row where we got basically close to a half an inch of snow that no one had forecast. I think it was Sunday night and then Monday night. We got really cold.
Well, it depends where you are. Where were you?
I'm in Hopkins. Okay. And so we got this overnight. We got this slight dusting. No one had really forecast this. Is this kind of a result of the fact that we're in a major metropolitan area and maybe that there's a humidity issue that's causing snow to come down when it gets this cold?
So you're partly onto it.
Okay.
This is all about microclimate. So that's why I asked where you were specifically, because I live in downtown Minneapolis. We didn't have anything.
Okay.
So this was not an organized system that just was, you know, missed by computer models. But when it gets really cold, you'll see this. Occasionally I'll post some video or pictures from parts of Siberia where it's routinely 40, 50 below. And it just gets so cold that what little moisture is in the atmosphere at that temperature is squeezed out in the form of, it's basically fog that just becomes snow right away, because people don't realize most of our fog, even if it's 15, 20 degrees, and it can actually become dangerous, is still liquid because the water droplets are super cooled. And so it actually, we call it ice fog. It can be dangerous because it condenses onto obviously frozen surfaces if it's 15 degrees and becomes ice right away. Well, when we get this cold, it doesn't, the water can't stay that far below freezing in the form of liquid. So it goes directly to snow. And so you can get a very fine snow. And yeah, that's where it happens. And particularly where you have any topography. So I used to live in the Bryn Mawr neighborhood of Minneapolis, which is Welsh for the Big Hill because it's the highest point in Minneapolis. And it literally was like being in the mountains. Anytime we had these super cold mornings, we would get snow that nobody else would get. And it's kind of fun. You can look on MnDOT traffic cameras. Mm-hmm. And in fact, do this, you know, the next few mornings, if you're really bored, which we all are this COVID winter, and try to pick out the spots where you'll see it's clearly snowing and then not elsewhere. So it's just a matter of microclimate. You might be at a slightly higher point or a place that's prone to more fog, or the temperature right where you were was just a couple degrees colder than everywhere else. So just, yeah, what little moisture is out there is condensed out. And at these cold temperatures, the ratio of snow to water can be 20 or 30 to 1. So it doesn't take hardly a you can spit and get a half inch of snow.
You had said last weekend that there's a chance that we could end up seeing this glob of Arctic air kind of spin around, and you were saying that this
could smack us again.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
here we
are getting this worse. I'm getting all these people down in the south, like in Texas, and they're making, like, I can't believe it's going to be like 10 degrees is a low down there. It's like, well, yeah, gee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal for them.
Yeah, it is. They're terrified.
It is. You know, I have some friends who are meteorologists in Houston, and things we don't think about, you know, they don't have insulation on pipes and things. So they're telling people, you go out, cover your pipes, you know, keep water running. You got to keep your sink running overnight, you know, or it can definitely freeze. And in things that, you know, like plants, you know, we were talking about last week that the cold, a lot of our species have evolved needing this extreme cold. Well, there it's the opposite. A lot of things aren't necessarily adapted to temperatures that cold. Now, probably native plants in Texas are, because it does get cold there occasionally, but, you know, we've brought in some more tropical things trying to push the limits.
Mm-hmm. And for us up here, although, you know, this is relatively normal Minnesota winter stuff, it's not something we've seen, because they're now saying, is it a chance this weekend we could get into a minus 20?
I don't think that's going to happen in the core of the metro. Now, a couple suburbs could get to 20 below. A few places, I believe, did last week. And I think Lake Elmo, the municipal airport there, you know, that's an open area, though, that is routinely colder than, you know, in the very outskirts, really, of the urban area. So those kind of places very certainly will. We're going to have a lot of 20s and 30s below. I think northern Minnesota will see some colder temperatures than last weekend, because the difference this weekend too is the winds are going to be lighter. It stayed pretty windy last weekend, so the wind chills actually probably will have bottomed out last weekend, but the actual air temperatures this weekend could be colder, because it's not going to be like, look, today the Arctic front's coming through, it's not windy. In fact, we have this light snow, which dispels another myth. A lot of people have been asking me, hey, I thought it was too cold to snow. It's never too cold to snow. It's just there's usually very little moisture. But as long as you're on the edge of an air mass, which we are right now, it's warmer, more moist to the south. That air was trying to ride up over the cold the last couple of days. That's why it hit 9 yesterday. Whoopee. And now retreating again. It's just enough to create, obviously, not a lot of snow, but this dusting to a half inch that many of us are going to see overnight tonight.
And we are going to, tonight, we're going to go below zero, and it does not look like we're going to get above zero again until Monday, right?
That's possible. You know, one of the tricky things has been the computer models have been overdoing the cold. So I know it's been cold, but you want to see something scary. The computer model projections have been much worse. Okay. The American model has routinely had us 25 to 35 below zero in the metro,
wow,
which is nowhere near reality. And a lot of forecasts you saw didn't have us getting above zero today. We did one. So a lot of people would keep resetting the counter to see how many hours are we going to get below zero. So, yeah, it is possible we've slipped below zero in the last couple of hours after barely reaching one today, that we may not get above it till Monday. But I'm not completely sold. Half the models are hinting at a couple degrees above zero Saturday. So okay. We'll see. If we don't Saturday, then we are in for a streak here. But it's, you know, the Minnesota DNR, the state climatology office, put out a thing on longest streaks below zero. This is, you know, three, four days is nothing. I think 1912 had 7 or 8 consecutive days, every single hour below zero.
Wow. I lived in Bemidji one winter. That was brutal.
Oh, yeah, there you go, too. Yeah, those places are already 15, 20 below right now, actual temperature. So, yeah, those are places that'll be in the 30s below probably the next couple mornings.
One final thing. I will, since you're looking at models here, it does look like there's a chance in later February.
There's hope.
There is hope that we could get warmer in the end of February. Is that true?
Yeah, already by late next week, the consensus in the models is that we will be near or even above freezing by maybe as early as next Friday, but almost certainly sometime next Friday, Saturday, Sunday for at least a few days. In the post I think you're alluding to, I put it out there and I did preface it by saying this is mere entertainment value 2 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
But the American model had us almost 50 degrees 2 weeks from today, which is not extraordinary. Late February is when we start to see some of these warmer high temperatures. The sun is getting infinitely stronger every day. We're another touch of hope here. We're in mid-February. Things are changing so rapidly that despite what the temperature is, the sun is getting much stronger. Owls start to nest right now. They're the first birds to have their hatchlings. So spring is here already by Minnesota standards.
All right. I want everyone to go follow Sven Sundgaard on YouTube. Also, bringmethenews.com. I'll post the weather forecast after the show here. Sven, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, you bet. Let's save those turtles, too.
Let's save those turtles. And I'll repost that video as well. We'll get that video up as well, too, to make sure you can find out more information and contact your Minnesota State Senator about endorsing that bill from Samantha Vang. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. The Louisiana Republicans have censured Bill Cassidy, the senator there, for voting to proceed with Trump's impeachment trial. Dear Lord, these people are broken to the core. They're just broken to the core. It is sad. And you know, this is, if you're wondering how you're going to get a third party started with the Republicans breaking into two, it's that stuff right there. It's that they are so intolerant to anyone having a difference of opinion outside of the most far right extreme part of the party. That, you know, they're going to drive them out. And like I said, I honestly feel as if they do this, you're going to end up getting a fairly substantial size political party very quickly, because I think most Republicans are tired of this crap. And so if they feel as if they can go into a nationally established party that has a chance at least, you know, to win over some suburban seats, well, then fine. And, you know, that might end up being what we have for a while. You have, you know, the DFL controls the major metro areas and a lot of the suburbs. You have some suburbs that are held by this third party, but the question comes in, what happens out in rural Minnesota? We talked about Grunhagen. Grunhagen won his seat by, 72%? So, you know, and they want a far-right extremist loon ball in that seat. Well, you're not going to win that if you're a moderate Republican. But, you know, there's a lot of seats where all of a sudden if a moderate Republican was on a ticket against a QAnon Republican – and a Democrat, Democrats will pick up a lot of seats. They'll pick up a lot of seats. 952-946-6205. I got to bring this story back. This is from Bluestem Prairie. Last year, Minnesota became the first state to ban TCE, an industrial solvent tied to the toxic nightmare at White Bear Lake's water gremlin. Now, I don't know if you remember the story, Sasha. The people were coming off this company were bringing literally covered so much in these chemicals that they were taking them home and like family members were getting sick. And so these people are getting on like buses and things like this. And we asked the question, if I remember the story correctly, why? OK, if this is so dangerous, why in the world isn't there like protective clothing there, that you have a shower there, you get cleaned out, you have a clean room where you get cleaned up and put on clean clothes, and all the work clothes go into a special containment so they can get clean. I couldn't figure this out, but it was so bad. Well, there's been there's even more horrific news. Who wants more horrific news about this? Now, a report of the legislative auditor, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, did not inspect water gremlin as often as they should. What a shock. A special review released by the Minnesota Office of Legislative Auditor has determined the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency lacked oversight for water gremlin. Water gremlin, located in White Bear Township, was found to have long-standing violations of air quality regulations. That includes more than 15 years of releasing a toxic chemical, TCE, into the air around this. And I'm going to tell you, I think this is actually near relatively nice neighborhoods. I mean, this is not like it's some Texas next to the refinery kind of, you know, place. This is – White Bear Township has got some real nice neighborhoods in it. I got to believe they're not too happy to find out they've been releasing chemicals into the air. Legislative Auditor Jim Noble's special review determined that the MPCA, which is the regulatory agency overseeing Water Gremlin, did not inspect Water Gremlin's equipment as often as should or make full use of the company's self-reported emissions information. The report also found that after 2002, the MPCA did not require testing of the company's air pollution equipment. Why didn't you do that? You probably should have been doing that. I'm no chemical expert, but you probably should have been testing that equipment. Other findings include that the MPCA did not act on the company's initial permit application in a timely manner, and the MPCA's 2002 permit amendment did not effectively limit the company's use of hazardous chemicals. The Minnesota House Environmental and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee will review the report beginning on 1 on Thursday, and they got that going on today. So, there's a YouTube channel which talks about tragedies, and they talk about there was one in Missouri where a dinner club, you know, caught on fire, another one in Cincinnati where a dinner club caught on fire, one where a haunted house caught on fire. And it talks about what happened, and I've watched a few of these. I know, a little morbid, but still kind of fascinating in the sense being, is how does something like this happen? And the thing which you look back, especially on this stuff that happened in the 70s and the early 80s, almost every single time, it's a lack of inspection. It's a lack of government oversight, even though the laws are on the books that the inspectors aren't inspecting the place. I just watched one where there was a horrible fire at a haunted house, and nothing was flameproof. I mean, everything was dangerous. And what had happened is a kid pulled out a lighter to light it to see where they were going in the haunted house and accidentally set the place on fire. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I thought we were – I mean, the 70s and 80s, you know, I always remember we're going to need a bigger boat. The mayor of Amity Island from Jaws, that guy with the anchors on his jacket. You know, he was like, oh, we're not going to close the beaches. I thought we were past that. It's a few years later, but apparently we aren't. Needless to say, I'm going to guess the people in White Bear Lake, or White Bear Township, I should say, White Bear Township, they're not going to be too happy to hear about this at all in any capacity. We got Native Roots Radio, Robert Pilot and crew. They're coming up next. We are back tomorrow. We've got Brett Johnson going to be joining us as well. You have a good one, and stay safe tonight. Watch out for light flurries. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.